Hey, good morning. My name is Sten, and I'm the pastor here, and today we are in week three of our series that we have called Growing Smaller. And this morning, we're going to turn our attention away from how to make this church grow smaller, which is what we were talking about over the first 2 weeks of the series, right? This church, for anyone who's been a part of it from the beginning, this church is growing larger. And as it does, we wanted to take some time to talk about how it grows smaller, how it needs to grow smaller at the very same time. But today, we're going to turn our attention away from how we make the church grow smaller. We're going to turn our attention to some other arenas, some other areas, some other parts of our life that I think benefit from growing smaller, especially parts of our life that desire to make a big impact. I think these are some parts of our life that benefit from growing smaller as well. So I'm really glad you could be here for this all today. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's hard to watch the news. Sometimes it's hard to read the news. Sometimes it's hard to scroll through news stories or to even scroll through friends' news feeds on social media. It's hard for me to do that a little bit lately. It's hard because there's so much bad news all the time. That there's so much sad news. There's so much tragic news today all around us. It's everywhere. It's all the time, and it comes from all angles. Everywhere you look. I mean, just take for instance, the last couple weeks, two devastating hurricanes that just plow through the southeast in just a couple weeks. This last week, if you saw news around here, it's an Amber Alert of a young girl and her parents, reports of her parents being murdered. It's constantly news of the next person diagnosed with cancer or some kind of health problems or some kind of sickness or maybe even loss in a family. It's news of violence in our streets, is news of division in our country, division in our neighborhoods, division in our communities. It's news stories of poverty and hunger that are just everywhere across our country. It's news stories of struggling marriages and struggling families hanging on. It's news stories of little kids, images of kids that don't have drinking water or don't have a full meal to eat every week. We see this stuff all the time. It's news stories of divorce, high profile divorce, all kinds of divorce. It's news stories of addiction and drugs and the opioid crisis that's just kind of seems to be sweeping through our country and only getting to be a bigger thing. You see this stuff, right? It's hard not to see this stuff. And truthfully, in today's world, in today's technology, in today's 24/7 media coverage, we know about all of it. All of it. Every single possible thing that could go wrong. Every single possible thing that could be bad, that could go wrong, we know about it. We know about all of it all the time. We have unending access to everything that is happening everywhere, all the time. We know about it all. And what's interesting to me about this, what's interesting is if you think about it, this wasn't necessarily the case a decade, maybe two decades ago, 15, 20 years ago, certainly a generation ago or two generations ago, this wasn't the case. You didn't necessarily know about a natural disaster unless it hit in your own hometown, right? You didn't necessarily know about marriages that were broken unless it was someone close to you. You didn't hear so much about cancer and about health problems unless it was someone in your own family. You didn't necessarily know that poverty or that hunger existed unless you saw it really on the streets of your own neighborhood, up close and personal. You didn't know so much about the violence that existed unless you saw some kind of fight that broke out in the cafeteria or broke out in the halls between classes, right? You didn't know about drugs unless you saw your, high school buddies in the far corner of the student parking lot and clouds of smoke spilling out of their car. You didn't know about this stuff unless somehow you saw it in your own life. A generation ago, you just weren't aware of some of this stuff like we are today. You just weren't aware of it like we have access to all the time. You just didn't know about it. Now, I'm not saying it's good that we didn't know. I'm not saying that's better. Like, oh man, if we could just get back to those days. I'm not saying that it's better. I'm not saying it's better that we stay isolated from the hard things that are happening outside of our own little world. I'm not saying it's better that we don't know about the relief work in disaster zones across our country or world. I'm not saying it's better that we don't know about poverty in some other part of the world. I'm not saying it's better that we don't know about hunger or addiction that exists outside of our own little communities. Not saying it's better that we just don't know about families who are struggling to get by or to just make it another day. Not saying it's good that we don't know about this stuff in our world. I'm just saying this. For people who have a heart, for people who want to see good prevail, for people who want to do good around them, all this stuff, the fact that we know about it all the time, I'm not saying it's good that we don't know about it. I'm just saying that all this stuff, it can be overwhelming. It can be incredibly overwhelming. And when there's so much to respond to, right? When you have a heart that wants to do good and see good, when there's so much to respond to, it's hard to know sometimes where to start, right? The vast array of possibilities before you, places to start, places to respond, the vast array of possibilities. Sometimes, maybe this is just me, sometimes the vast array of possibilities, it almost becomes paralyzing. Like, where to start, what to do. I mean, it's like, I started thinking about it like this. It's like the restaurant that has the gigantic menu, right? You've been to these places. The place has seemingly every single dish from every nation, every dish known to man available to you. They're all numbered on the menu. Like, that should mean something to you. I'm always curious if my waiter knows, like, what number 117 really is. Okay, but that's beside the point. I don't like these places because the waiter comes by and the menu is giant, right? And they're saying, hey, do you know what you want? I'm thinking, like, no, I haven't even made it past the appetizers. It's like the possibility of everything, whatever it is, whether it's on a menu or somewhere else, it's like the possibility of everything at times can make it so hard to pick anything. You're thinking, I don't know where to start. I don't know where to jump in. I don't know how. I don't know where to make a difference. And I think the same thing can be true. I think the same thing can be true when we try to engage with the world around us. I think the same thing can be true when we try to engage with the world around us or with needs around us. The magnitude of pain, the magnitude of difficulty, the magnitude of hardship, the magnitude of tragic news everywhere, it can be overwhelming. And the more you experience it everywhere, the harder it is to know how to engage with it anywhere. You ever feel that? The more it experiences, the more that the reality is that it's everywhere, it's harder to know how to engage with it anywhere. And if you're anything like me, you have a heart that wants to do whatever's right. If you're like me, you want to fix whatever it is that's not working around you. But when you look at hunger, and when you look at poverty, and when you look at addiction, when you look at disease, when you look at brokenness all around you, and we look at all the time and all the money that governments and churches and organizations have spent to try to make this stuff right, and it still isn't right, it's frustrating to realize, I can't fix this. I don't know if I can fix this. You start thinking when you take in all the stuff, you're going, I don't know what I'm going to do. How can I do anything about this? How could I possibly make this any better? And for me, that's a dangerous place to be. I know I feel that sometimes. I'm frustrated going, I don't know how, I can't fix this. There's nothing I can do about all of this. That's a dangerous place to be. Because you know what's easier then? When you're in that place of going, man, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything about this. You know what's easier then? The easier thing to do then is to just not do anything. I mean, it's easier to just pretend like this stuff doesn't happen. It's easier to just ignore the stuff that doesn't happen right in your own little world. It's easier just to go on with your life and to go on with your family and to go on with your responsibilities and not pay any attention to stuff. That's easier. But we can't do that. I can't do that. As Christians, those of us in this room that are followers of Jesus, we can't let that happen. We're supposed to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. We're supposed to be his representative here on earth. We're supposed to be the witness to the good news and to the power of the gospel. We're supposed to bring light into the darkness. We're supposed to be carriers of hope to the hopeless. We're supposed to be the ones that bring joy to the brokenhearted. We're supposed to be the ones that bring relief to those who are tired and to those who are hungry and so on. It's us. And so the question then is, what do we do? What do we do? Because we can't ignore it. We can't pretend like this stuff isn't there. But we can't fix it. We can't solve it, and we can't change the world all by ourselves. So what do we do? The guy that we refer to often as the Apostle Paul, I think he gives us a clue. When we unpack some of the writings that he sends, some of the letters that he sends to Christians that he knows, I think he starts to give us a clue. And I think we get a clue in one of the letters he writes to Christians in Galatia. Paul traveled to Galatia 2,000 years ago. He traveled to Galatia, and like he did in many of the places where he traveled and where he visited, he started churches there. He would travel to these places, and he would start churches there. And to the Christians there, he'd train them up, he'd equip them, and he'd empower them, and he'd leave them to do the good work of the gospel right where it is that they lived. And when he left, okay, this is what he did. He visited these places, he planted churches, and then he'd leave them to do the good work. And so in Galatia, he does all that, plants the church, trains up the leaders, and then he left, and then he starts to hear that the wheels are starting to fall off to the churches in Galatia. The wheels are starting to fall off. And so this is why he writes this letter to the Christians in Galatia, which is now what we refer to as the book of Galatians. And in one small section of that letter, we find it in chapter 6. It's in one small section of this letter. It's actually just a handful of verses that we're going to look at this morning. Paul is speaking briefly to their social responsibility, really. He's speaking to two things, really, in these verses that we're going to be pulling apart here. He's speaking to both individual responsibility of the people there, and he's also speaking to mutual accountability in this letter. He's speaking to individual responsibility and to mutual accountability, our responsibility to one another. At one point, he gives this instruction. It's chapter 6, verse 2. At one point, he says this. He says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You carry each other's burdens, and you'll be fulfilling the very things that Jesus Christ came to do himself. That's what I was getting at, that we can't ignore the burdens, that we can't ignore the hardship, we can't ignore the pain, we can't ignore the struggle or the oppression or whatever it is around us. That's that kind of hands and feet thing. That's us. We can't ignore this stuff. And then just a few verses down, he writes this, and this is what I want us to pull apart this morning. A few verses later, Paul writes this. He says, so let us not become weary in doing good. And I want to hold right here for just a second. He says, let us not become weary in doing good. I love that he says this. Because I think it demonstrates something. I think it demonstrates that he gets it in some ways. I think that it demonstrates that he gets us. That sometimes, if we can just be honest, that sometimes we get tired in doing good. Anyone ever feel that way? You get tired in doing good? Can we just be honest that sometimes we get tired in doing good? We get tired of being generous. We get tired of caring. We get tired of always being the ones to give of ourselves. We get tired of being the ones to serve others. We get tired of always being the ones to do the right thing. Sometimes we get tired in doing good. I don't know if you feel that. I'm admitting that in front of all of you. Maybe it's the rule follower in me. I don't know. That always gets tired of doing the right thing. My whole life I've been a rule follower. So maybe it's that. I wish I could just change lanes over the solid stripe line just one time. I wish I could just pocket the extra $5 when the waiter forgot to add our two coffees. I wish I didn't feel like I should say something, right? Sometimes I get tired of feeling like, why am I the ones who would say, yeah, I can do that, I can help, I can be there, right? Sometimes we get tired in doing good. And Paul, he's saying, do not get tired, folks. Do not get tired in doing good. And then he goes on to write this, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we what? If we do not give up. If we don't turn a blind eye. If we don't ignore it. If we don't just pretend like it doesn't exist. We don't just assume that there's nothing we can do about it. He's saying there's a harvest to come. There's a blessing to come. There's good news that there's a reward to come when we do not give up. And then he writes this in verse 10. He says, Therefore, as we have the opportunity, if you're following along and you're making notes yourself, circle that word, make note of that word, highlight that word. He says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially, he adds, to those who belong to the family of believers. Okay, so here's his message to the Christians in Galatia, where the wheels are starting to fall off. He says, don't get tired of doing good. Don't give up. In fact, as you have the opportunity, do good for everyone. That word translated opportunity, the word that's translated as opportunity, I should say here, it's the Greek word kairos, which most often in the New Testament is the word that's translated as time. Most often when we see this Greek word kairos, it's translated as time. So what Paul is saying, he's saying, so as you have the opportunity, as you have the time, do good for everyone. So let me just ask you a little question here, okay? Just by a show of hands, I'm going to ask you to respond to me. Just by a show of hands, put them up high if this is you. Who has the time to do good to all people, all the time, all around you, all around the world? Okay, no hands are going up on this one. Okay, who has the time to fix every single problem in the world? Just put them up high so I can see them. Okay, who has the time to invest in every single marriage? Every one of them that you know that's on the rocks. You got the time for it. As you have the time, do good for everyone. Okay, who has the time to befriend every person that you know that is lonely and in need of someone by their side? I could go on. Who has the time to serve every organization that you know that's doing good around the world? Okay, not many hands going up. I'm not surprised. Why? Because our time has limits. It's just the very nature of our time. There are physical limits to our time, to the time that we have in a day, to the time that we have in a week, in a month, in a year. We can't do all things for all people all the time, and yet Paul is reminding us that our social responsibility is to carry each other's burdens. He says, don't get tired. Don't give up. And he says, as you have the time, as you have the opportunity, keep doing good for the people around you. Keep doing good for the world around you. And so what I want to share with you this morning is a simple suggestion that I think could turn upside down, could revolutionize the way that we engage with the world around us, with the time that we have, because we don't have time to do everything for everyone. But Paul still tells us, don't give up, do good for everyone. And so what I want to share with you is a simple statement, a simple suggestion that I think could change the way that we respond to the world around us. And that statement, that suggestion is this: do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. It's this line of thinking and our desire to engage with people, with our desire to engage in places around the world, that makes me start to think that oftentimes it's our target that needs to shrink a little bit. If we want our impact to be greater, I almost think we need to start by making our thinking just a little bit smaller. Our scope needs to dial in some ways, and our focus needs to go from the many problems, from the many needs, from the many people, from the many organizations, from the many problems that need our time and our attention. I think our focus needs to go from the many that can feel so overwhelming. Our focus needs to go from the many to the few, and perhaps to just the one. Just to the one who you can do what you wish you could do for everyone. Do for one what you wish you could do for anyone. You may not have the time to do for everyone. That's the point here. You may not have time to do for everyone, but as you have the opportunity, Paul's saying, as you have the time, do for one. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Now, I'm going to guess, maybe, just maybe, for some of you, this feels a little strange. I mean, it feels maybe a little bit uncomfortable. You think, it feels maybe just a little bit unfair, right? Because in many ways, this flies in the face of something that we have been taught, flies in the face of something that we have heard since we were kids, right? Because all of us, we grew up in homes, and we grew up in schools, and we grew up on teams that taught us the exact opposite. I think you know what I'm talking about here. You had a teacher who wouldn't let you use the bathroom because she said, well, if I let you go, then I'd have to let everyone go. Right? You ask your coach for a water break, and he says, no, because if I let you go, I have to let everyone go. You ask your mom for a cookie, and she says, no, because if I let you have one, I'd have to let all your brothers and sisters have one. Right? Because of some cosmic force of nature, right? We had to do for everyone what we were about to do for just the one. You've heard this before, right? Well, if I'm going to let you do it, I have to let everyone do it. You've probably said it a time or two, but as a kid, here's the thing. Whenever you heard this, I'm just going to take a guess here. Whenever you heard this as a kid, I'm guessing that you'd think a lot like I was thinking. You ask your parents for something, they will say, no, if I let you, I'd have to let everyone. And you thought to yourself, no, you don't. You can just do it for me. You don't have to do it. I won't tell anybody. You don't have to do it for them just because you're going to do it for me. You're saying, I won't tell anybody. Just let me go. Just let me have the cookie. Just let me stay out past curfew. Just let me get the new pair of jeans. Just let me get the new pair of shoes right now. I won't tell anybody. You could just do it for me. But our parents and our teachers and our coaches, they just couldn't do that because that wasn't fair. That wasn't fair. Somehow, somewhere, someone decided for everyone that everything had to be fair. And so this unspoken rule that never made sense to us as kids, really, it's not how we raise our kids. Well, I can't let you do it, then I have to let your brother do it, right? It never made sense, but now it's how we raise our kids. And I wonder if it just isn't something that we've carried with us into our adult world. And I just wonder if sometimes it isn't the way that we engage with people around us who have needs. If it isn't the way that we engage with the world around us, we think, well, we gotta be fair with the people who need our time and our attention. We think we gotta be fair. Here's what I wanna suggest this morning. Here's the problem with fair. Here's why I don't always think that this is a great advice for us to follow as adults. Here's why I don't necessarily think that fair is a great idea for how we engage with the world or with needs around us. Because if we gotta be fair with how we engage with people, if we gotta be fair with how we engage with the world around us, then you and I end up not doing anything for anyone because we can't do it for everyone. If we gotta be fair with how we respond and where we engage, then we run the risk of ending up not doing anything for anyone because we can't do it for everyone. Let me see if I can give you an example of what I'm talking about here. Ever since Eric and I were married, I've worked in churches. I've been in ministry for my whole adult life, really, here. And I've worked in churches, actually I've worked in larger churches for most of the time that I've been in ministry. And so this means that we knew a lot of people. We knew a lot of families. We're connected to a lot of families, connected to a lot of kids. And so when it came to Girl Scout cookie season, when it came to the little coupon book deal, when the team was selling stuff, every kid we knew was selling something. And we were part of big churches, and there's lots of kids, and there's lots of students, and there's lots of families. Every kid was selling something. And so Eric and I, we started asking each other, what do we do? But we're going, I don't know how we do this. We're going, we can't buy from every one of these kids. I wish we could. I mean, every time we're going, man, I wish we could. But we just honestly can't. We wish we could buy from everyone, but we just couldn't. So what do? We came to the conclusion, well, then we just won't buy from anyone. Maybe it's this unspoken conclusion we reached. We thought, well, if we can't buy it from everyone, we just won't buy it from anyone. And the more I think about it, that's too bad. Because no, there was no way that we could not buy it from everybody. But we could buy it from someone. We couldn't buy it from everyone, but we could buy it from someone. But instead, no one got a sale, and I didn't get one single box of cookies. So why do we do that? I think, well, if I can't do it for everyone, then I'm going to do it for no one. Now, obviously, I'm talking about more than just Girl Scout cookies today, okay? I'm talking about more than just buying things from the neighbors. I'm talking about the real needs and the real problems and the real causes around the world. And my fear is that maybe the same thing happens. I don't know if this is true for you, but my fear is that maybe sometimes the same thing what happened. That we're thinking, well, hey, if we can't do it for everyone, then we just won't do it for anyone. And if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you can't do that. You can't let yourself crawl into that hole. You may not be able to do everything for everyone everywhere, but you can do something for someone somewhere. You may not be able to do everything for everyone everywhere, but I really do believe that you can do something for someone somewhere. And I'd rather you be engaged with someone somewhere than fair with everyone everywhere. I'd rather you be engaged somewhere. Why? Because you and I have a responsibility. And the way we follow through on that responsibility is to ask ourselves, who's the one? The way we follow through on that responsibility is to do for one what we wish we could do for everyone. And so then the way we follow through on that responsibility is to ask ourselves, who's the one? I cannot do for everyone, but who's the one that I can do what I wish I could do for everyone? Who's the one for you? I mean, who's the one, the one marriage that you know, just can't stop thinking about? The one family that you know is trying to get by? Who's the one kid that always, you know, has a soft spot in your heart? What's the one place, the one country, the one project, the one cause, the one organization that you can do what you wish you could do for everyone? Who's the one? And as you consider this, and maybe the one jumps right out at you. Maybe you're going, hey, Sten, I know. I mean, I've got it. I know who this, the one is. Right, maybe it jumps right at you, but as you consider it, as you think about who the one is for you, I want to finish by just giving you three tips on how I think you can do this best. I came across these little tips in a talk by a pastor named Andy Stanley on how we make the most of our impact, and so I want to share these with you. As you're thinking about the one, maybe it comes to you, maybe you're thinking about it right now, as you're thinking about the one who you can do what you wish you could do for anyone, everyone, let me share these three tips with you for how we do it best. Here's number one: think deeper rather than wider. When it comes to the one person that God has maybe put on your heart, when it comes to the one that God is nudging you toward, make a commitment to be all in. For whoever or whatever that is, if that's the, you know, if that's the plight of poor people in your community, don't just generally care about poor people. Find one person who you know is in that position and go deep with them. Go all in for them. Make a commitment to that person. If it's broken marriages that break your heart, don't just generally care about, you know, people and marriages, right? Find that one couple who you could invest in, who could benefit from your support, and dive in and go deep with them. Right? We got to think deeper rather than wider, because the flip side of this is to just go wider. And if I'm being honest, I think this is what we do more often than not. We think wider more often than not. And truthfully, I think we do this because wider is easier. If we can just be honest, wider is easier to, you know, to just say, you know, we just like to go, but I'll give you $10 and I'll give you $10 and I'll give you $10 and I'll pray with you one time and I'll just pray with you one time. We won't go any deeper than that, but I'll pray with you one time and I'll pray with you one time and I'll invite you over for dinner just one time. We probably won't do more than that, but I'll invite you over one time and I'll invite you over one time and I'll volunteer here once and I'll go to that country just one time and I'll volunteer at that place just one time, and we go around, and we're trying to do all sorts of good in so many places. But my fear is that we're actually not doing as much good as we hoped we would when we just go wider, not deeper. And so I think that's one of the ways that we can do for one best what we wish we could do for everyone. Think about going deeper rather than wider. Here's the second thing. Think long-term rather than short-term. When God puts that one person, that one place, that one organization, that one kid, that one guy, that one girl, when God puts the one on your heart, think long-term rather than short-term. What do I mean by this? I mean think in terms of a real partnership, not just like a project. Think about a partnership, not just a project. A project is just kind of get in, get out, get it done fast, you know, move on. A partnership says, hey, no, I'm here for you. I'm here for the long haul. I'm here to see this, or I'm here to see them, or I'm here to see you through till this thing is over with, till this storm has passed for you, till you get back on your feet, till you find solid ground again. I'm here for the long term. And the third thing is this, and I think this is good for us to hear, you know, especially for us in America. I think this is good. Here's number three. Think time, not just money. Think time, not just money. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people in a lot of places benefit greatly from the generous people who give of what God has given to them, right? That does a lot of good. But sometimes, and this is what I was saying, I think sometimes for us in America, that's all we do, right? It's easier for us to just write the check than to actually show up. We just say, yeah, no, just take this. Here, we good? I'll just write the check. I won't really give you much of my time. And today, I mean, it's even easier to do that. I mean, technology, and we even use this technology at Midcurrent Church, but right, technology has made it possible to send money with a text message, right? You know, Red Cross, you know, disasters are happening. Red Cross says, hey, send $10 from your smartphone. So you don't even have to get up off of the couch. You don't even have to move a muscle. You just hit send, and you think, there, I did my part. I did my part. I'm good to go. Now that's great. I'm not trying to tell you that's not good. I'm not trying to tell you where to spend your money. I'm not trying to tell you how to spend your money. I'm just saying, I think sometimes we got to think time, not just money. And that brings us right back to where we started in all this. We got to think about time, not just money. That brings us back to that tension, right? The reality that you may not have a lot of time, right? That's just the reality of our lives these days. And we could talk about that later. Is it good or bad or who knows? But the reality of it is that we may not have a lot of time. It's exactly right. And so as you have the time, as you have the opportunity, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And as you do that, think deeper, not just wider. Think long-term rather than short-term, and think about your time and not just your money. I think that if we could learn to narrow our focus, I think if we could set our sights just a little bit smaller, I don't think we'd be so overwhelmed. I mean, if our target just got a little bit smaller, a little bit more defined, a little bit more refined, if our target got smaller, I think our impact could actually be a whole lot greater. And at the end of the day, here's what I really think. Here's what I think makes this so great, right? Here's what I think, that if everyone did, at the end of the day, if everyone did for one what they wish they could do for everyone, then I think we actually might just start to make a difference. If everyone did for one what they wish they could do for everyone, I think we might actually just start to see the change in the world and the change in the communities that we actually want to start seeing. If everyone did for one what they wish they could do for everyone. And so the question is, who's the one? Who's the one, you know, marriage that you can't stop thinking about? Who's the one kid? Who's the one family? What's the one place that you keep thinking, hey, I should check in there. I should do something there. I should stop in and see how it's going in there. What's the one organization? What's the one mission? What's the one cause that you wish you could do a whole lot of good for? I'm hoping that this week, I'm hoping that this month, I'm hoping that this year, you'd find that one. That your target, that your focus would get just a little bit smaller in hopes that your impact might be just a little bit greater. I'm hoping that this month or this year, you'd find the one. And here's the thing, it's going to be different for all of us. The one, whoever it is, whatever it is, it's going to be different for all of us. That's the beautiful part about this. That's the great thing about this. Because when all of us do for the one that means most to us, right? When we do for the one that we care about, it's going to be different than the one that the next person cares about and the next person down the line. But when we do for the one that we care about, then our fingerprints start to spread out all across our communities, our fingerprints spread out all across the world because the one will be different for us all. And when we all do for the one that we care about, it's a ripple effect on out across the board. And so this week, this month, this year, I hope you'd find the one and I'd hope you'd commit to the one. I hope you'd commit to go deep, to go long, and to go time, not just your money, and to focus this year on doing for one, what you wish you could maybe do for everyone. Let me pray for us. God, we are mindful of all the places, everywhere, where things aren't right. It's endless. We could list off everything that isn't right, and it looks, you know, different, and it's on a different scale. But God, that there are just endless places in our world and in our families and our communities where things aren't right. They aren't like they should be. And God, we're grateful that we get a reminder this morning that's the stuff that's got to be on our radar. God, I'm glad to be reminded, hey, don't get tired in caring about this stuff. Don't get tired about responding to this stuff. Don't get tired engaging in this stuff. That's our responsibility, God. I'm grateful for that reminder, God, and I pray that you would help us to know how and to know, you know, where and to how best we can really engage and we can start to make a difference in this world, because sometimes it can be so overwhelming. We feel like there's not a single thing that I can do, God. So would you help us to find the one where we can do good, where we can make a difference? And God, would you help us to go all in? Would you help us to commit our time, not just our money, our attention and our support to the one, for whoever it is for us? God, I think that we would have such an impact there, and truthfully, I think it has a way of changing us as well, God, when we see that you have put us in places and positions to do a whole lot of good to a whole lot of people, to a whole lot of places around the world. God, so would you help us do it? Would you give us eyes to see the places that you might be nudging us toward? Would you give us eyes and awareness to see the people that you might be nudging us toward? And would you help us all, God, to do for one what we wish we could do for everyone? We want you to be honored in the midst of it all, God. And we ask for your help as we set out to do that as individuals, as families, and as a church community. God, would you be our guide in all that we do? And we pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.